I'm Brian Russo, and welcome back to Coastal Connection. We'll end today's show in Georgetown, Delaware, at the Sussex Correctional Institution, or SCI. It's an all-male prison that houses maximum, medium, and minimum security inmates. It's an intimidating facility from the outside, what with all the massive fencing and countless coils of barbed wire. On the inside, it's no different. As one giant steel door slowly slides open automatically to let you in, you're then trapped in a holding area until that door behind you closes again. When that door closes, the door you're facing starts the process all over again. It's very slow and very intense. But once I got inside, I was led to a very normal-looking classroom. And every Friday morning, about 20 or so of the inmates here sit down at long tables in this room and make art. Some sketch out mythic-looking drawings of superheroes. Some make abstract pictures. Others do landscapes and still lifes. Others paint. The unifying theme, though, for these inmates is that this once-a-week class brings them a measure of peace, an escape, if only a bit, from life behind bars. They're men like Randolph Graham, who's serving life in prison for first-degree murder. Randolph's been here for 29 years, and the long hair he has left is pulled back tightly into a ponytail. His arms are covered in sleeves of tattoos, and of course he's wearing his prison-issued white jumpsuit. He's a soft-spoken man, and when I met him, he was slowly spreading orange hues across the top of the paper with a small brush to create a beautiful sunset on a beach.
I start by painting skies, then I work the background and everything.
Is this the day of the week or the time in the week that you look forward to the most?
Oh, yeah. I love coming over, being able to paint, because it's just freedom, you know. You can express yourself in any kind of way, you know. Then I also go around. I try to help guys with different techniques, try to teach them so they can learn, you know. But it's a great out, you know, release and everything.
Sure. How much art did you do prior to getting into this program?
Basically, like I said, I was self-taught, you know. I just, as a kid, just draw and paint it and everything. As the years went by, I just got better at it and better, you know. So
what's your favorite thing to paint?
Probably sceneries, because there's really no set, you know, standards you got to do or anything, you know. I mean, a tree can be any shape, a mountain can be any shape, so. And it's a good thing to teach a guy how to paint, because, again, like I said, it's not like a building or a person. It's got to be exact detail so it looks right,
right.
You know. It's forgiving.
Well, it's interesting, too, because I think a lot of painters or artists who fancy drawing landscapes or sort of outdoor scenes, they can just go to that scene and look at it and paint it. You don't have that luxury here.
Yeah.
So tell me where you're drawing your inspiration from.
What I do is I think of a nice place I'd like to be, and then I kind of, like, in my mind, look around and see everything that, you know, there, and just capture that image in my mind and then go ahead and put it down on paper or on a canvas.
Yeah. So this beach scene that you're doing here, is it a particular beach?
When I was a kid, we used to go down like White Crystal Beach, down to Ocean City and everything. And so I figured I'd do one that the waves crash and had a beach, maybe the sand dunes and everything. Just scene from when you was a kid out playing on a beach.
I mean, because it's been a number of years since you've been on a beach. I mean,
yeah.
When you're drawing these things and painting these scenes, is it sort of a way to go there yourself? I mean, are there certain things when you're going to be painting this that you remember? I mean, can other senses that you have be stimulated by putting this down on canvas?
Oh, yeah. It'll bring back old memories. I mean, it'll bring back the smell of the ocean, you know, like sit out family playing on a beach. You know, it brings back a lot of old memories, a lot of these pictures do.
The art program has been in existence here at SCI for about 17 years.
That's Nancy Thomas. She's a master correctional counselor at SCI.
I took the program over about 5 years ago. It started out with a few inmates. We now have 20 inmates in the program, and we meet weekly. It's a voluntary program that the guys come into. They don't have to have any art background. They don't have to have any certain amount of talent. They write to me and request to come into the program. And then they go on a waiting list, and they come, when their name comes up, they enter the program. We don't get any funds from the state or the Department of Correction. Our whole program is run independently.
Tell me about the selection process of how you're choosing the 20 people that make up this class. You mentioned that there's a waiting list, but how do you select the ones that are in it?
Anybody in the jail is eligible to enter the program as long as they don't have any disciplinary write-ups within 2 years. They come into the program. Some of them have no art background. Some of them have some talent that they've used on the outside. We have many guys that have come into the program that have never done anything artistically. They come in and they start, they get advice from other students that do have a background or do have a talent, and they show up and basically it's their time artistically to explore what they can do and do what they want as far as the medium they use and that type of thing. Although I have a background in art, I have a degree in art, I don't do any teaching.
Right.
I think it's the therapeutic portion of this program is important, and I think it's important for these guys to come in and have their time to do their thing.
Sure. Yeah, this is not going to work.
And one of the inmates utilizing that time in a mind-boggling way is Russell Sullivan. Before he was locked up for a crime he says he's not comfortable talking about, Sullivan was a muralist, and his work was even on display at a few restaurants in Ocean City. I met him beneath a life-size, full-color rendering he did of Superman. It looks like it was plucked straight from a comic book. I mean, the detail is so spot on. Which makes it that much more amazing that Sullivan created this picture completely from memory.
It's comforting to bring a little bit of home here, you know. I'm doing a lot of things I did when I was home, too. And it is therapeutic to be able to, you know, let your mind go and put your fantasies on paper or whatever. Yeah. But
how much is art part of your plan for when you get out eventually?
Well, I guess I'll never give it up, probably. I'll try to look for a way to do it in some way or another, you know.
Now, most of these guys will admit that they have no aspirations of being full-time artists when they get out. But they say this isn't something they just do to pass the time. Many of them use art to work through the remorse they feel for the crimes they committed, for the people they've hurt, both emotionally and perhaps physically. Others do it for a sense of camaraderie in this room. It's a safe and almost calm environment. And almost every one of the guys I talked to said the mood in this art class is so different from the rough and sometimes scary existence in the prison's general population. Chase Fehrenbach is probably the youngest inmate in this class, but his artwork is among the most striking. Chase got hooked on heroin at a young age, and the throes of addiction led him to commit armed robbery. He says he's 6 years into a lengthy sentence. For him, this class is a way to hone his craft, because he hopes to make art a full-time career when he gets out.
I love the idea of tragedy mixed with love and longing, destruction breeding creation, tearing something down to build something beautiful, or building something beautiful over top the ruins of something, you know, past or destroyed.
How much was art a part of your life before you came here?
It was a huge part. I've been drawing since I was a little kid. Started out drawing imaginary planes and with bombs and guns, futuristic style, and then eventually just kind of took on a life of its own and started designing tattoos when I was about 13. And kind of spun on and took a life of its own there, but it's really flourished ever since I come to jail.
How has your art grown since being in this program?
It's grown exponentially. I have always done art on the street, but the time in here alone, away from the class, I utilize extremely well. But what this class has given me is additional mediums that I wouldn't have access to otherwise. Painting, watercolor, acrylic, canvases, things that I couldn't necessarily afford and or have access to, period, if I was on the rest of the compound. Which is, my mediums are usually, as you can tell, black and white pen work. But getting into color and canvases and paintings has really broken my mold. And it's just shown me another world of possibilities that I didn't even know that I had it in me.
You know, you said when you were a kid that you would draw and that would be kind of an escape. I mean, how much of art being created in prison is escapism for you, or is it really a quest to create?
It's both. I do it naturally just because it's always been a coping mechanism, even before I knew what a coping mechanism was. It took me away from the world and troubles at home, and it's only amplified that ability in here. It's been my saving grace. It's been an escape for me pretty much every day. Every day in here is a struggle to deal with the issues and the people and the places and the having no control. This is the one place I can turn to where I have absolute, complete control to do and come up with whatever my will, you know, desires. And having that ability and having talent and then having people appreciate it on a grander scale makes it even all that more special to me.
Now, of course, you know, as you look forward and to whenever your sentence ends and when you go back into society, I mean, do you think that this will help you ramp into, you know, maybe taking art on as a career? I mean, do you think that that could be a possibility for your future?
Absolutely. I'm already in the works right now. I had a lady contact me. I have a website, chasefarenbach.com, as well as a MySpace or Facebook account. And people contact me through there sporadically for doing commission works for tattoos, paintings. I have the stuff in the gallery right now in Millsboro. I'm in the works with putting stuff in a gallery in California, as well as a lady approached me about 6 months ago with a children's book idea.
Wow.
And I'm in the works with illustrating a children's book with her.
So it sounds like, even though you're in here, it sounds like your career is moving along. How much do you attribute to just being in this class?
A lot. I mean, my career artistically has grown more in here than it ever was on the street. On the street, it was more of a novelty, something to do to relieve stress and to kill time. And here, it's been a consuming endeavor that's been nothing but gratification after gratification on a scale that I didn't even ever imagine it would be on.
Chase mentioned the art gallery in Millsboro, Delaware. This is actually a really interesting point, because for the past few weeks, these inmates have had their art on display and for sale at the Millsboro Art Gallery. The money raised from the sale of these impressive works goes back to the gallery and to help fund the therapeutic art program at SCI. But for many of these inmates, like Russell Sullivan, who found out his life-size Captain America drawing had not only been a huge hit at the exhibit, but also sold on the first day, the fact that anyone is seeing his art, especially given his current address, completely moves him.
Oh, it cheers me up, especially to find out that I've already sold some items. So I don't know which ones all together, but yeah, it is a bright spot in here. Something to look forward to know that people appreciate what you're pretty decent at.
Randolph Graham is equally moved by the fact that people are admiring his artwork, even though his life sentence means he will never meet them or even be able to see their reaction to his work. But for him, the opportunity to have his art hanging in a gallery anywhere offers up a much deeper hope.
It means a lot to me, and it also puts more of a face on us as, you know, inmates, more than just, hey, a guy that's a throwaway, is no good or anything like that. It's a guy that, hey, does have potential to do other things, you know? You know, there's a whole other side to us.
Do you think that programs like this help not only the inmates integrate back into society when they get out, but also changes the perception of what the general public feels about inmates?
I think it does, because if a guy learns also from this positive, you know, hey, I can create things, do things, it helps him there. But the public, I think it helps maybe some of them look at it different. I mean, you're not going to change everybody's mind, you know. I mean, let's face it, we're all here because it wasn't like we was Boy Scouts or anything. We did something wrong, so we're paying a price for it. But yes, I think it helps change perspective on some of them.
I went back through the slow-moving prison doors and headed a few miles down the road to the Millsboro Art Gallery, where volunteers Holland Franks and Shane Meyer say people have been completely captivated by the artwork the inmates have created. Here's Shane Meyer.
The talent was the most impressive thing I thought for myself when I walked in. I was blown away of the different styles and the fact that as a painter myself, learning, I have to go off everything in a picture or a still life. And they're completely going off memory, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Holland, for you, what do you think the reaction's been and the biggest takeaway people are leaving the Millsboro Art Gallery with after seeing this work?
I think what everybody stands at the door basically stunned, because you look at the quality, and I also go to commercial galleries. There are some things hanging in here that are better than a lot of commercial galleries, and people cannot believe that these guys aren't artists. And most of them, in fact, all of them, have never had a painting lesson. Mm-hmm. And that what they've learned is what they picked up on their own. And I think people are absolutely, they can't believe it. And sometimes I think they think we're kidding them.
It's interesting because you walk around and you look at the work on the wall, and as you said, you know, I was struck by the quality of it. But the thing that I think struck me the most was, you know, when you go to an art gallery and you look at the piece and you're moved by the piece, then you look in the bottom left corner and you see how much the piece costs.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, sometimes you get sticker shock. Here, I had sticker shock on the other end of the spectrum. It's some of these paintings, you know, even large ones, $20-$30. You know, I remember as you came in and I pointed that out to you, you said that much of this work is undervalued. Explain that
totally,
a little bit.
Totally undervalued, because when you do a painting, you're not talking about 15 or 20 minutes. And the better the painting, the more hours you spend. Again, as an artist, if you spend less than 20 to 30 hours on a painting, that's a quick painting. Some of these paintings, these guys have spent 30 or 40 hours on. Suppose you take what you make an hour and multiply it by 40 and say, that's what that picture's worth, and you look on the wall and it says $30.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. And I think that they should spend more money.
Yeah.
They should charge more money.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, too, the relationship between people who create art and people who end up buying the art. I mean, sometimes you go to a gallery and the artist will be there, you know, talking with the people that are there to purchase the work. In this case, that's not happening because, you know, the people who created these works are incarcerated. Are they hesitant about purchasing a piece knowing that the person that created this is serving time? Or do they really just value the work based on the work itself?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I haven't heard anybody say, well, I'm not buying that because they're incarcerated or they're prisoners or they're bad guys. They're looking at the artwork and accepting it as artwork. And I think that's very important.
As I looked around the gallery at the works created by men who have made mistakes, committed serious crimes, and now, of course, must pay for those indiscretions, I remember something that Russell Sullivan said to me. He said the best thing about having his work seen in this gallery is that for the first time in as long as he can remember, people are looking at what he created without contempt for what he's done in the past. So in a way, artists helped some of these men start over, and their future could be a blank canvas, perhaps because somebody gave them a paintbrush. To learn more about the SCI art exhibit at the Millsboro Art Gallery, or to see pictures of some of the work, click to our website, wamucoast.org. I'm Brian Russo, and you're listening to Coastal Connection.